Let's go ahead and get started. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good Sunday morning. You are in the pathway to Christ-centered relationships. This is our first of our fall session, the Faith and Family Legacy session. And I chose this session because when I saw the options, this one jumped out at me because I love teaching history. To me, history is fascinating, seeing how people live their lives and how it affects our lives today. And like it or not, you're going to leave a legacy at some point. So good or bad, you will leave behind something of yourself and others. And I know that my third and fourth grade students, they'd always like be right after lunch. We'd come back from lunch and we'd be teaching history and science and their eyes would be glazed over, you know, and they're sleepy. Mm-hmm. But history's always been one of the most fascinating things. And the study of biblical characters and the legacy that they left behind for us, I thought was just amazing. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. We're going to start by talking about what is a legacy.
Sorry, I'm late.
This may seem academic, but I think it is important to touch on. A legacy is something that is transmitted or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. So a person's personal legacy is the long-lasting impact they have on others and the world after they are gone, encompassing their values, their actions, their memories, the positive or negative changes that they inspire. It includes tangible items like property and funds, but more importantly, intangible gifts such as wisdom, love, respect, traditions, and the overall story and spirit of their life. Good morning. We're talking about what a legacy is. So some of the elements of a legacy are your values and your beliefs. You pass that down. The ethical and moral principles that guided your life, they are carried on by others, by how you teach them. Your actions and the impact that you have can be positive or negative. Your choices, your contributions, and your deeds on individuals and to society. Memories and stories. That's one of the main ways that we remember our family. We sit around and tell stories about Papa Charlie or Maude or Mama and Papa David. You know, we love to sit around and talk about these ones that have gone on to be with the Lord before us. And the lessons that they taught us. And our relationships that we have with each other, those connections, even after someone dies, those connections don't die. You still have that connection to them. So the Bible gives us plenty of stories of legacy and the impact that it's had on our history. And you may not even realize it, but some of the things that Abraham did, they still impact your life today. Some of the things that David did, they impact your life today. Not just through the scriptures, but just even in societal changes. Abraham's covenant with God influenced not only a nation, but influenced the world and still influences the world to this day. So we're going to start with the scripture in the book of Psalms. And we're going to talk about how important it is to leave behind a legacy for others. So if you don't have your Bible with you, that's fine. I don't have the scriptures on the board. I apologize for that. But we're going to start in Psalms chapter 78. And I'm going to just read it to you, verses 4 through 7. It says, "We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So it is, God does wish for us to leave a legacy of his word and our obedience to his word. So the first biblical character I'm going to talk about, of course, is Abraham. God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, that thou shouldst be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God did not call his people through Abraham to be better than everybody else. God called the children of Israel out to be a blessing to every family on earth. And that, of course, is through the seed of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ. So ultimately, Jesus comes through that, and that is what blesses the entire earth. But God called Abraham to leave everything behind. His family, his lifestyle. He said, come and be obedient to me. And Abraham chose to obey. And Abraham's legacy of obedience, even though he didn't know what all God was going to do, he chose to obey, and that left behind a legacy. In his faith in God, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So his faith in God was counted as righteousness. And also in Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. So if you can't follow along, that's perfectly fine. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So before there was a plan of salvation, before there was even a law to follow, he had faith and he obeyed God. And the Bible said that that was counted to him as his righteousness. So he trusted God even when the plan was unclear, and he left a model behind for us. When we look in the book of Hebrews, see if I can flip there quickly. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he wanted his future to be shaped by God. So his faith and obedience today still shapes future generations. The nation of Israel, they still look to their father Abraham. They call him Father Abraham. And they look to his life of obedience and faith to shape their lives. Then we're going to look at Genesis chapter 50. We're going to talk about Joseph. Got all these marks, so I just hope I turn to the right ones. Genesis chapter 50, verses 19. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. That was talking about the story that was at the end of the story of Joseph's brothers selling him into slavery to Egypt, and him being torn away from his family and tossed in a prison and tossed in a pit, and then taken to Egypt, taken to a land that he didn't know the language, he didn't know the customs, but God preserved him through all that, and God brought him up into a role of leadership, and through all the betrayal, through the slavery, through prison, Joseph held fast to his belief in God. And the impact of this is his response saved entire nations, not only his nation, but nations all around, because he chose to serve God. He chose to be faithful to God, and so God gave him a vision and allowed him to save nations. Now, Joseph had to choose forgiveness. He could have very easily have been bitter toward his brothers. How many times have we been hurt? I've been in church my whole life. I've had church hurt since I was a little girl. I know what church hurt is, but we have to choose forgiveness over bitterness. I heard it said one time that you can't choose when you're hurt, but bitterness is a choice. Resentment is a choice. Unforgiveness is a choice. So you can't always choose when you're going to be hurt, but you can choose how you're going to respond to that hurt. You can forgive. And Joseph is the perfect example of this. His legacy is one of forgiveness and perseverance. And then, I hope I'm not moving too fast, we move on to David. What a legacy David has left for us. 1 Samuel. That's when God called David out. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet a youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Remember, shepherds were considered unclean. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent him and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So God called David from shepherding to kingship. Now, the Bible very clearly in Acts 13 and 22, the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Most people tend to believe and tend to preach that, and I've heard it preached my whole life, that the reason why David was a man after God's own heart was not because he was a perfect man. He was flawed just like all of us. But because he was a humble man and he knew how to repent. And his prayer of repentance, one of his prayers of repentance is in Psalms 51 and 10, when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer. God, please move on my heart. Create in me a clean heart. So that right there is an impact that has lasted through generations from David. He knew how to humble himself. He knew how to repent. And because of that, God could use him in leadership. Leadership is not about being the biggest and the strongest and the smartest. Leadership is about being able to follow God so others can follow you. And we're all flawed flesh. Pastor likes to say that a lot. We are all flawed. Abraham was flawed. Abraham was a liar. Twice he lied. Joseph was flawed. Well, actually, Joseph was one of the only ones that you can't really pinpoint a character flaw in him in the story of Joseph. I was challenged to do that in Purpose Institute. Go back and read the entire story of Joseph from beginning to end. It is very difficult to find a character flaw in him. He is one of the only characters in the Bible that does not have an obvious character flaw, but we know he was flesh and blood just like we are. So we know that he had his times too where he was down and maybe he doubted. Maybe when he was going through the hard times, I'm sure he cried out to God for help. And then, of course, David. We all know his story. He was not perfect at all. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But he knew how to humble himself before God and how to repent. And so then we move on to, of course, this is number 4 in our list. But, of course, he is the best example. The ultimate legacy is Jesus Christ. And it's got the verses John 3:16, John 15:13. It talks about he came to give his life. His entire life was lived just to be a sacrifice from the beginning to the end. He did miracles while he was here. He did. He walked on water. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. But that's not why he came to earth. He came to earth to give his life, to hang on that cross for us. His legacy, of course, is our salvation through the new birth process. Without his legacy, we would not even be here today. And our lives should reflect his love, his holiness, and his self-sacrifice. Going back to Joseph and the talking about the concept of forgiveness of others, if you really want to be like Jesus, then you've got to love unconditionally and you've got to forgive instantly. And whenever I'm struggling with forgiveness, All I have to do is think about all the things that God's had to forgive me of. And when I start counting it up, one by one, pretty soon I come to realize, as much as I've asked the Lord to forgive me, it should be easy for me to forgive others. So that is His ultimate legacy. We want Him to forgive us, so we should forgive others. And then we move on to the apostles and the early church. Now, we are still the Acts church. We are the original apostolic church, continued on from the book of Acts. I can't remember exactly. There are 28 chapters in the book of Acts. We're the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. We are continuing that legacy on. So what the apostles did in the early church, let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and read verses 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I don't think that God is calling us to sell all of our earthly possessions and live in a, you know, kind of a commune type situation. I think that was applicable for that time. Who knows? It may come again where we have to sell everything we have and come together and live together. But that's not what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is their fellowship and their teaching. Every day they came together, they prayed together, they taught each other, they listened to the word of God being preached. And we are still a church that does that today. This church's devotion to doctrine, fellowship, prayer, and breaking of bread. They turn their entire world upside down just by being different, just by coming together and refusing to have dissent. You know, they were all one voice. The Bible says that they were all one voice. So we need to continue that legacy by faithfully proclaiming the oneness message, the apostolic message, and building spirit-filled communities. Our church is a community. We come together not just to have a service, not just to sing a few songs and listen to a little bit of preaching. We are family. We are a community. And in that way, we are still the apostolic church of today. Mm-hmm. And I have run through this way too quickly. I am so sorry. Let's look at our key takeaways. The lasting legacy is not wealth or fame. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we just had somebody pass down millions of dollars to us and we would never have to work again? But that wouldn't be good for us. I know it wouldn't be good for me. But a lasting legacy is personal faith and obedience, integrity and repentance, forgiveness and perseverance, love, sacrifice, and truth, and commitment to community and witness. So those are the lasting legacies. And we could go through story after story of legacy in the Bible. I just chose four or five to talk about today. That's one of the reasons why we constantly need to be reading the Word, is because we need to learn from these characters in the Bible that they can teach us that legacy. And going back to Abraham, how he influences the world today. Joseph, how he was a type and shadow of Jesus. David, how we need to have our heart be more like his heart. If I could have a heart like David, then I know I could please God even when I fall and make mistakes. About the apostolic church and how we need to be a community that loves each other. And of course, ultimately, we want to be more like Jesus. So let's go into our discussion questions. And here's where I'd really like to have a lot of classroom discussion. Abraham obeyed God when he didn't know the full plan. I mean, can you imagine? God says, okay, sell your house, sell your cars, sell everything you own, have a big yard sale, get all that money, and let's move to a different country where you don't speak the language, you don't know anybody, you don't have family there. How many of us would be willing to do that? I don't know if I would. but Abraham did. So how can we show obedience to God even in uncertain times? I know God's not asking me to sell everything I have and move to a different country, but how is God asking us to be obedient even when we don't know the plan? Can anybody think of any point in your life where you didn't know what was going on? I know I could. Go ahead.
I mean, we moved to Tennessee. My mom really woke up and was like, hey, that was a move.
Yeah.
And we packed up everything that we could fit in the van.
And just moved. Yep. You didn't know what was going on.
The only person that was here was my aunt.
Yeah.
There was nobody else around. And she was not very much help, so.
Oh, wow.
But we made it through.
You made it through. When you're faithful, God will help you to make it through. Anybody else? I think I saw a hand. Go ahead.
There was a time with Brother Breamer, Elder Brother Breamer, that he had just gotten, he probably worked there maybe 6 months, the best job of his career that he had ever gotten. And it was connected with National Geographic accounting. And wonderful boss, good pay. God called him to home mission. I did not like that. For the first time in my life, I felt like I could breathe because we had, stability.
Right.
Financially, and he liked his boss, and the boss liked him, and all that. But he knew what God was calling him to do, so he just, in a way, told me to suck it up, Buttercup. And I was not happy about it, and it took some praying through for me to realize that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20. You can always look back on your life and see how God made a way when you didn't know then.
Yeah.
And the longer I live, the more I've come to understand His way is better. And if I just trust Him, even when I don't know what's going on, I've never been in a situation where He's let me down. So if you really, truly think about it, if you really think about it in your life, you look back, you've gone through hard times. We all go through hard times. You've lost people. You've been betrayed. We've all gone through that. But God has never, I can never pinpoint a time where God let me down. I can pinpoint plenty of times where I let God down. But I cannot pinpoint a time where God let me down. He's always brought me through. And then we talk about Joseph forgiving his brothers and they betrayed him. That family was torn by that betrayal. His father didn't even know. His father thought he was dead. And these brothers they were all older than him. They were all supposed to be his protectors. And they sold him into slavery because he got on their nerves a little bit too much. But how does forgiveness shape the kind of legacy that we leave? Think about a time in your life where you have had betrayal, because I know we all have. And think about the choices that you made during that betrayal and how that impacted your family. So we're going through a big split right now in my family. I can be a little bit vulnerable. My brother has done something illegal, and he will probably spend the rest of his life in jail for it. And my mom, of course, that's her child. I understand that's her child. Nobody wants to believe that their child would do something like that. And so she's on his side and everybody else is on this side. And it's really split our family in half. And it's been like a really hard time. Like we can't get together for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. I have to have, go here for this Thanksgiving and then go here for that one. And then I barely speak to this one. And I don't know if I can even talk to this one over here because I'm afraid they're going to get mad at me if I say the wrong thing. But through all of that, all I have prayed is, God, help me to forgive. Help me to love my brother, forgive him, love. And I tell you one thing that's helped me is whenever somebody hurts me, I immediately put them on my prayer list and I start praying for them every day. And if you're having trouble forgiving someone, put them on your prayer list and really start interceding to the Lord for them on a daily basis. I don't want my brother to be lost.
Amen.
I would love it if we didn't have to have consequences and he didn't have to go to jail, but that's just life. You break the law, you're probably going to go to jail. So he's probably going to have to face those consequences whether I like it or not. But I can forgive him and I can love him. And what my prayer has been, God, restore my family. We used to be such a tight-knit family. And when something like this happens and it splits your family apart, it's so hurtful to everybody involved. It's so painful. So can anybody else think of a time where you faced betrayal and you've had to choose forgiveness over bitterness? And I hope and pray that none of you struggle with bitterness. Bitterness is like a cancer. Unforgiveness, it is. It's like a cancer. It eats away at you. It grows. It does not stay in one spot. Go ahead.
I finally had that moment with the deal with him. And I graduated college, took a long time. But when I graduated college, I invited him to come to my graduation. And we had really, really helped me out. From that time, he got some dollars to help me. So that way, it takes some of the burden off me. I'm working at two jobs, trying to still go full time at college. It was very difficult. And so I definitely went to try to find out the difference for him. So that I could talk things with regulation, that conversation. I was very happy I had an opportunity to get that forgiveness with him because a year later he had passed away. So
you would have regretted that.
Yeah, I would have. So I was very happy I had that opportunity to get that happen.
Families are hard sometimes. They say the ones that you love the most are the ones that can hurt you the most. And so family hurt is a real thing. But I remember there's a preacher in Georgia. His name is Brother Walden. And I remember a sermon he preached one time, and it talked about forgiveness. And he was talking about if you want the blood of Jesus to cover all sin, then you have to let the blood of Jesus cover all sin, not just the sin that you commit to God, but the sin that everyone has committed to you. You have to let God's blood cover all of it. And like I said, if you ever need help learning to forgive, just start thinking about all the things God's had to forgive you of and start praying for that person. It will help. Anybody else? Story of forgiveness, betrayal?
I don't know if you might have had that to deal with it or not, but I had two family members that had a squabble, and they both were the ones, they wanted to take their side. And if they didn't take their side, they were mad at you. And neither one of them would ever give you any. So I didn't want to take sides and still to get people that are feeling that you because you won't come over to their side.
Right.
It's kind of
I know exactly how that feels. Yeah, you're on the phone with them and you're like, I just love you. I just love everybody. You just try to tell, hey, I love everybody. I'm not gonna say anything bad about anybody. Yeah, it's hard. I know. And then David is remembered for repentance as much as his victories. How does repentance strengthen our witness? That's a good point to think about. How does repentance, having a repentant heart, how does that strengthen your witness to others? I know that I'm flawed just like everybody else, and I know that I can stand up here and I could go on all day about all the good things that I've done in my life. But that's not what life is about all the time. A lot of times, coming to God is not about making you a better, well, I don't want to say it like that. It's not about making you a perfect person, even though we are to strive for perfection and to strive for holiness. The Bible says, be ye perfect, for I, the Lord, your God, am perfect. That word perfect is talking about maturity more than it is perfection. So we are to mature and grow in Christ, but it's not about me. A lot of times it's not. It's not about what I've accomplished, what I've done, how good I am. But a lot of times it's about, hey, look how low I was, and look where God has brought me from. That's more of a testimony than showing you all of my accomplishments, showing you what I have done. Because what can I do compared to what God has done? And who would I even be? I wouldn't even be standing in front of you today if it weren't for God pulling me out of that pit. And so a lot of times our stories of where God has brought us from is the stronger witness. Does anybody have anything they want to add to that? I don't want to move on too quickly.
one of David's main witnesses was, as you know.
Yes.
As you know, he was a very humble man.
Yes, he was.
That's why I love him.
I do believe that. I do believe that that is one of the reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. He knew how to say, I'm wrong. And you're right.
There is a Bible study, and I don't know if it still exists or not, that Brother Greenland and I have taught it before. It's called The Tabernacle of David. And what that talks about is David's two main things was repentance and praise. He knew how to praise the Lord.
Yes.
And, of course, he knew how to repent. But I need to check that out. I may even still have it.
I'm sure it's working somewhere, yeah. Yeah, praise is a big one too, because
another thing on that about the witnessing, when somebody does you wrong, it's not just you and that person that sees it all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may see it too. And you choose to forgive them, those same people may be saying, well, I wouldn't forgive them. But deep down they're thinking, wow.
Reaction to it.
Have something in there.
Yeah. Are you being like Christ, or are you being just the mad person that got hurt? Yeah, your reaction to it can have more of a witness sometimes. You're absolutely right. And then, of course, in what ways can we personally carry on the legacy of Jesus in our families and our communities? We're all striving to be more like Jesus. What does being more like Jesus mean to you? Who would like to say something about how you would like to be more like Jesus? Remember, we're all flawed. None of us are like Jesus. None of us are perfect yet. But we're all striving, and we're all maturing, and we're all growing together. What's one thing that you could say that you like to work toward?
I was going through a difficult situation not long time ago. And in that situation, I wanted to cry for self, for being hurt, being upset, being mad, and I just went to my kitchen and I just raised up my hands and I said, Lord, I just want to be more like you. I just want to be more like you. Just fill me with your presence. I just want to be more like you. More like you. And so at that moment, it was just like this cloth of peace all over me. Because I just cry out of so many things that I wanted to do, but I cry out to the Lord, I wanted to be more like you. So his response was, basically, he filled up everything I needed.
He said, give it to me. Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. You give your hearts to God, and he'll take them. He took them on the cross for all of us. And then, of course, the apostles in the first church, which we are still a part of the first church, when they passed down the legacy of truth and community, as an apostolic church, how can we pass down this legacy to the next generation? What are some of the ways that we can be like the first church? Because we are the first church. I really and truly believe that. I believe our methods have changed, times have changed, but we have not changed our message. So we are the apostolic church. So what are some ways that we can help pass that down to the next generation?
Help the needs. Helping the needs. Don't abandon the widows.
Exactly.
And the elders. Being Christ everywhere we go.
That's good. Setting that example and teaching others and getting them involved. I think getting the younger generation involved is important. Well, it is 10:34, and I am pretty much done, unless anybody has something they'd like to add.
I do.
Go ahead.
I don't know why, but the Lord has prompted me to tell this. Maybe it's because someone here needs to hear it. I don't know. And I'm not even sure you know it. But when I was about 13, I had an uncle who I was at home by myself, and he showed up, and I'd always loved him, but It was just him and me, and he abused me. And even at that, I believe it was the hand of God that was on me because of my great-grandmother who helped start this church was apostolic, and she always prayed for me. And at that age, I had enough sense, or something kept me from telling anyone. So only he and I knew. Now this goes back to the card here about forgiveness. I knew if I told my dad, I was the apple of my dad's eye. I was his shadow. He loved me more than life itself. And I knew if I told Daddy what happened, Daddy would kill him.
Oh, yeah, he'd go to jail.
I knew he'd shoot him. And therefore, I told nobody until after my dad was gone and my uncle was gone. I finally told my mother. Of course, I had told Brother Griever about it. But here's the part that's forgiveness. When I was 14, I got the Holy Ghost. And of course, Grandma was my, what would you say, my mentor, my person who taught me about the ways of the Lord. And I just forgave my uncle. And of course, Grandma didn't know about it either, but I forgave my uncle. And I finally got to where I could look at him or speak to him at a family function. And he finally came over to me one day and he said, whisper in my ear, because he knew I'd never told anybody. And he said, are you still mad at me? And I said, no, I'm not. I said, I have the Holy Ghost now. And of course, he didn't know what that was, and he didn't like holy rollers. But I said, I'm not mad at you anymore. I forgive you. And do you know, we became a little bit better, you know, talking to each other and that kind of thing. But every time I saw him until he died, he would ask me if I would forgive him. Mm. And I told him I had a long time ago. But see, that preyed on him. He knew he was wrong. And I guess he was glad I didn't tell anybody. But that came through the Holy Ghost to be able to forgive somebody like that. I didn't have really anything to look back on except what Grandma told me. So I don't know why. While I was sitting here, I don't know why the Lord prompted me to tell you all that, because it's not well known in my family, but maybe it will help somebody. And if I can help somebody, even if it hurts to do it, I want to help somebody. So there it is.
But God had a calling on your life into the ministry with you and Brother Griever, so he knew you needed to put that under the blood. You couldn't carry that with you all those years. Yep, that's one thing that forgiveness does, is it puts it under the blood so you don't have to carry it anymore. Is anybody else? No, that was a little heavy, but sometimes it gets heavy when we're talking about forgiveness, but it's so important. All right, well, I love you all. Thank you for coming to class. I hope something that we said today, something would help someone, because that's what we're here for. We're here to build each other up in the Lord. Okay, God bless you.
Thank you.